Blog Talk Radio.
Speaking of Michael Jordan,
this is as good as it gets. Now, if you're Philly, you got to play without fouling. And with 4 seconds, ton of time for Toronto to get a good look here. And it doesn't have to be catch and shoot. You got time to take 2-3 dribbles. You can make a couple passes even if you can catch the defense sleeping.
Ennis is in for Philadelphia. Gasol will inbound. Siakam back in.
You got to be aware of the inbounder here if you're Philly.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Welcome back, everybody, to Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. Welcome to The Soul in Sports. I am your host, Mike Knox, and indeed I spell my name with 3 X's because, like Kawhi Leonard, damn, I am hardcore. People, welcome to the shows, the pros, icons, Ayatollahs, and rock and rollers. All tune in and listen to right here on Fox Sports Radio, The Soul in Sports. Make sure you follow us on social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, wherever social media is sold, which is absolutely free, at Mike Knox. And you already know how to spell it because I already told you how to spell it. And while you're there, follow the station, giving the identification at 1340 AM Fox Sports. And people, follow Soul in Sports, S-O-U-L, capital N, Sports. And I wear my heart on my sleeve, and today I wear it like this. We're going to break down the best and worst of this weekend in sports. NBA playoff review. Listen, I'll tell you some things I'm mad about. What's mad about? I'm mad about the fact that for over 10 days, damn it, I have been saying Kawhi Leonard is more like MJ than anyone I've seen. Now all of a sudden I wake up this morning, I get in my car to turn on Sports Talk Radio on my Sirius XM. I come home and I turn on the television, and now everybody wants to compare him to Michael Jordan. Stop! I called Shady McCoy, Barry Sanders 2.0 before Chris Collinsworth, and now, damn it, Nick Wright and Fox Sports, it will not take my title of giving Kawhi Leonard the MJ title. All right. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, the NBA lottery is tomorrow night? Zion. It's called the Zion Lottery, not the NBA Lottery. It's all about Zion. What team needs him more? Also, wrestling is tonight. That means Monday Night Raw is tonight. We will preview the go-home show for the Money in the Bank. And also, who can beat the Golden State Warriors? All that and dim sum. But as always, I'm not here by myself. I'm joined live all the way from the DMV. We know his black ass got to have some ID. Well, because he's black and he's driving in America, they pull his ass over. What's going on, Wale?
What's going on, Mike, man? NBA playoffs, man. That's where it's at right now, man. I mean, that thing's exciting. It's exciting brand of basketball we're looking at over the last couple of weeks.
Exciting? Absolutely. Fantastic, even. Absolutely. Yeah. My
Definitely.
Second team lost, and it still was a good game. Like my brother
game.
And I, my brother and I sat in my game room watching the end of this
uh-huh.
game. And of course, he's from Philly. I grew up there, you know, on my father's side, and uh-huh. so I'm cheering for all my, I'm cheering for the Sixers. And I'm like, we screaming after when Butler gets the steal or the rebound and come down after Kawhi misses
yeah.
the free throw, and he yes, we're going. And then all of a sudden, Kawhi, and what I cannot understand for the life of me,
yeah.
Wally. Is that when I hear this in sports, I want to make sure you grind your gears. Luck. Lucky shots. If that's
no,
the case,
luck.
Isn't every shot lucky?
Every shot's lucky, man. I mean, he got a nice, I call it a nice roll. You know, he got a shooter's roll. That's what I call it. I don't call it luck. I mean, if you got people got to understand, when you shoot the rock, there's a technique where you shoot, where you get, everybody says if you shoot it with arc, you get backspin, right? If you get that nice backspin on it, you can get the shots to roll in. Kawhi guy had a nice backspin. They say it all the time. If you shoot the ball soft enough on the rim and put a nice backspin on it, it can go in. I mean, there's a lot of shots. I mean, every shot that rattles in, if you're going to use that terminology, every shot that rattles in is luck. If it ain't going in nothing but the net, there's not luck, right?
There's nothing but luck. But, chimed in, isn't that what Kawhi said at the end of the game was, you know, it's a certain way you shoot the ball. I knew the way that I shot it, I would get a softer bounce.
Yeah.
He
shot with arc. He shot it soft. It hit the rim. I mean, let's be real. Like, certain rims aren't as giving. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, to me,
like when you're a kid,
watch it back.
Played in the school,
yeah,
play guard.
Like, and you know not. Like you said, you watched the Bulls, right, for years, right? Their rims, just by watching from as a fan of basketball, their rims weren't given. Like, shots
mm-hmm.
didn't roll in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain places, Toronto, if you watch Toronto games, they've been notorious for having nice little bounces. So I'm not, like, that's Toronto. That's their rims. That's what they do with their rims. Every rim is different. Every rim has a little touch to it. So, yeah, I mean, he knew his court. He shot it right, and it went in.
Well, let's start right there where we started at, and that's with the Raptors-Sixers game, Game 7, coming down to it, now infamously known as the second-ever buzzer beater in NBA playoff history, followed by Michael Jordan in Game 5, the only Game 7 buzzer beater
yeah.
of all time in this
yeah,
game.
Yeah.
And when you watch this game, and I know you did, and a lot of us watched it, most Game 7s, even the game that started before that, the Portland-Denver game,
That game was great.
All four teams played very tight, right? Like, Sixers open up, you say 0 for 9 in the field, 1
yeah.
from 11. Like, nerves, pressure, whatever you want to call it, was on full display yesterday in these games. But talking specifically about the Sixers-Raptors game, do you think there's anything different that could have determined the outcome? Because when I look at this game, when I go back, and I just honestly just got finished watching this game over on NBA TV. I love how they just skim through, like, certain parts you don't need to see.
Yeah, I like that. I love that, too.
Fuck the fuck is all you
too.
See. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
I love it, too. I know the feeling, bro. Because in West Coast games, I'm not watching. I'm not staying up, so it is what it is.
you go in there and watch some things in, like, an hour. But, like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Good stuff,
cool.
right? But I'm watching
yeah.
this game, and I'm rewatching this game, and I'm saying Kawhi Leonard – was the best player on the court because he willed his team more. Now, I love the passion from Joel Embiid. And I say this much, too. And I think it's funny because when you are a fan of a team, you have a little bit more sympathy for players than if you don't like a team.
Of course.
Right? If that had been anybody else trying, I'd have ripped them yesterday.
Of course.
I'd have ripped them. Like, what are you crying for?
I don't have issue with them crying. It's not being a fan. I understand. You play sports. I think Barkley said this on the TNT broadcast. He kept it real. He was like, you play sports and you compete at the highest level, you're going to cry in a situation like that. Now, the issue with Embiid, what makes it bad for him, is that he's such a troller. Like, he's such a troller, right?
The Golden State comment,
like,
they're not going to let him live that down.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, when you troll like him, it's like, you know, it's like the bully who just popped in the mouth and all of a sudden he's responding a different way, right? He was fine. He's crying or whatever. You look at it like, yeah, he got popped, and he got popped good, so you can see why he kind of shed a tear. But at the same time, when you look in at it, same thing with Embiid. Like, yeah, you lost it. You lost a heartbreaking loss. But you're the same bully on the block that gives everybody the business. You know what I'm saying? Like, you were going at the folks in Brooklyn, like with the Nets. Like, you were saying so many smart comments, and now – like, this happened to you, and now the meme is out there. It's probably replacing Jordan meme of you crying. I mean, it's funny. I laugh at it.
If my
client
Ric Flair didn't replace Jordan meme, nothing should replace the Jordan meme if the crying Ric Flair didn't replace it.
I think the Embiid thing is close because his lip kind of looked funny in like the whole thing.
So
I think, like, it could be.
He looked funny.
It kind of looks, yeah, it looks funny, dude. And, you know, like, it hurts you because Embiid's African. It hurts my feelings, but, like, it's like, dang, dude, you got caught. Like, and I get it, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm a teammate of Embiid, like, I dig that passion. You know what I mean? I'm not going to cry because I'm like, yeah, man, it hurts, too. Like, you want somebody to have that emotion that they care. Like, he really cares. But at the same time, again, when you a big bully on the block and you, like, you fry everybody, right? You fry everybody. And now you got your moment when you're, like, caught on the social media meme, the social media tour. That's what I call it. It is what it is, man. You just gotta have to take that L. But, like, I don't have an issue with him crying, though. Let me make that clear. Like,
I have zero issue with him crying, but he did touch on something as the world we live in, right? It was hella funny.
Yeah,
it was
the It's funny. Speaking. I mean, it's keeping
you know what
real.
I'm
it's funny.
But when watching that, and what came to my mind watching him cry was, you had game 5 in your hands, and y'all let it slip out. Y'all had, you know what I mean? Like, I'm watching what the Sixers did in this series to put themselves – they should have beat Toronto in 5 games, maybe 6 tops.
Yeah.
They should have had them. And they let Kawhi Leonard will his team. Because Kawhi team didn't play very well as a team after game 2.
No, they were scared, too.
They were subpar
they scared
for the rest
down
of the series.
Too.
Yeah.
Oh, they were scared. They were scared in that game. They weren't trying to shoot. Like Kawhi had – like down the stretch, like, you know how many shots that Siakam – Lowry,
his,
like how many shots they
right.
did want to shoot?
That's
like,
his name. Siakam. You got to say it like that. This is how you.
I said Siakam, man. You know, I said Siakam, man. I got to say it like how, you know, I got to say it the cool, slick way, man. Siakam. You know what I mean? I got to say it like that. Cool, slick way. Siakam. You know what I mean? Siakam, you know.
Start.
He was scared, though. Like, they were scared. Like, they were scared of game 7. Like, they were scared to be eliminated. They weren't trying to be great. You see that all the time with certain role players. I'm not even talking about superstar players. You got role players who aren't scared to be great. Robert Horry comes to mind. Sam Cassell comes to mind. These dudes weren't scared to be great, like, in their role. Like, Siakam and Lowry, them dudes were scared. Like, you could tell, like, okay, just give up Kawhi.
Lowry's always scared, though.
You saw it in game 7.
Fair money don't make no
sense.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's my point.
Right now on Fox Sports Radio 1340, Fox Sports Twitter page, they have a vote going on right now. Whose buzzer beater shot was better, MJ's or Kawhi Leonard? Right now, 64% to 36%.
Oh.
And now we always live in this for the moment thing. And when it comes to certain conversations, it's not even fair to ask me. Like, if you ask me anything about basketball, it's going to be Jordan. I don't care what point you possess. It's just hands down, it's Michael Jordan. But I have to be honest.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you got to be real, man.
Game 5 was game 5. Now, if there was a game 7, would they have won that game? We don't know if the Bulls would have won that series, I mean. We don't know. But we do know this was it has to be Kawhi Leonard's shot. And not because of Jordan jumping over a shorter Craig Elo. The moment was bigger, the way Jordan pumped the fist and all that kind of stuff. That's what's more iconic. The shot is more iconic than the beater. But what Kawhi did on the switch that, first of all, all series long, I don't know why they switch like that. You got to keep Benny on Kawhi Leonard. Every time they do that pick and roll and they switch where Embiid has to come over and carry, Embiid's a step behind because he's afraid to get taken to the rack. And in this situation, not only does he make the switch, he goes to the corner, a.k.a. the double dribble shot. You know what I'm talking about? The double dribble video game.
Yeah.
Everybody makes it from the corner. He's fading like double dribble all over. And then the kick and the fake that we get from Kawhi was classic, Wally.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not a big Jewel fan. That's one. But I'm not gonna, I'm not going to, dismiss the situation. The Jordan shot was great. But it was a game five in the first round, I believe. It's in the first round. Game five was the first round game. This is a game seven. This is game seven. The winner gets the Eastern Conference Finals. That alone lets you know, the importance of it was big. You make this shot, you go to the Eastern Conference Finals. You go on baseline. You go baseline. You on baseline for a base a 15-foot shot over a 7-footer, and then the role was dramatic. You know what I mean? Everything made that moment special. The role was dramatic. You're waiting. Oh snap! First you think, snap! It can bounce in, and then you're waiting for that extra second, and it goes in. It's like watching a movie.
AKA Tobias Harris. He was like, damn. that's how I felt it was just sad. You know what I mean?
You couldn't script that, man. You couldn't script it because it's like watching them corny movies like Hoosier or whatever. When a ball bounces everywhere, or even the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Did you say corny movies?
Corny endings.
How are you going to say Hoosier was corny, man?
The endings are corny, man. Anytime the ball rolls in 500 times to go in, it's corny. I'm sick of that. In real basketball, it goes in.
Friday Night Lights is the best sports movie of all time.
That fake stuff. If you play ball, you know. When you make a game where that thing goes in, you don't get the 80 bounces before it goes in. You know, that's for TV. One moment TV kind of worked out. This is the one moment the TV worked out.
I got to say this. King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter, our social media to the stars, says Joel Embiid crying does not make him a sympathetic figure. It reminds me of Cersei last night from last night's episode of Game of Thrones. If anybody watches Game of Thrones, I also concur with that, King Vaughn. Watching her cry was witch, are you serious? Are you serious right now? So, you know what? Like I said, as a fan, I felt for Embiid. But, you know, the day later, these are things he's asked for. These are things I would take that passion any day from a guy like that because that lets me know. Let's move forward. Let's fast forward. Let's be progressive towards right now the Sixers. Then we're going to move on to the NBA playoffs previews. I got to talk a little up to the Sixers because Jay Chris will be back next week on the show. And so he won't have time to talk about it. So I'm going to bring it up just for Jay Chris, okay? Where did the Sixers go from here? Now, later in the show, I'm going to bring up the Zion sweepstakes, the Zion lottery. People forget they Sixers could get Zion tomorrow. They could have the one pick in the draft. Okay? It's a far-fetched rule.
Me saying the city. It's just like me saying DC getting the Wizards, man. It ain't happening. The Wizards are getting Zion. Not happening. So, the Wizards have a decent.
The Sixers have Phoenix's pick or something like that. One of those picks is Phillies.
The Wizards got an 8% chance, and I'm not going to even entertain that type of conversation. It's not happening. It's just not happening.
All right,
I get what you're trying to do. It's not going to happen.
Moving forward past.
Hey, John Morant, worry about John Morant. That's the best player to draft anywhere.
You know what? And again, I'm going to go there later.
That's the best player to draft, bro.
Brett Brown has to go because not again from last year that we talked about all this year and what you as a coach talked about all year with Brett's coaching situation. That was bad down the stretch, having three plays.
That was bad.
Couldn't get the playoffs. You're still running a pick and roll high for him because of putting him on. He is the most dominant one of the most dominant big men in the NBA.
God.
Keeping him out by the 3-point line, it's pathetic. Here's my suggestion. And I said this for Mark Jackson needs to be in Philadelphia. I thought New York was the best situation for him because how he can handle the media being from there. But who else can handle the media? New York, Philadelphia, medias are similar. You know what I mean? Identical in a sense.
Yeah.
in Philadelphia makes sense. But I tell you this much, Wally, if Ben Simmons does not learn how to shoot, I think the Philadelphia 76ers might have to trade him. And I love Ben Simmons. Everything I doubted about him that you warned me about him or we debated about, I see your point. When he has the ball in his hand, he's magical. But with the way this team is structured, and you've already given Embiid the contract, if he does not improve, have to move on. Your thoughts?
No, I agree. I think that they can't work together. Ben doesn't develop that type of shot. This is my issue with Ben more than, like, shooting the ball and shooting effectively. I think people worry about him, like, shooting, right? I mean, some people have broke jump shots, so I'm not going to say, like, shoot the ball, shoot the ball, shoot the ball. But his mentality has to change. Like, there are points in that game where he took the ball to the cup, and he had a floater if he wanted it, but he wanted to pass it outside for somebody to shoot a three or something. And then you're like, you got to have the mentality, you know what? I got to make them, once I get by my defender, I got to make them pay and try to score the basketball. It's not about jump shots. I'm just talking about scoring. There's opportunities where he takes the ball to the cup, and he has the angle, and he just passes that thing back out to, like, trying to find JJ or Tobias Harris for a shot. You know, Magic Johnson, who I idolize. Like, many times Magic Johnson decided, you know what, let me put myself in the game score-wise. Now I know later on my assists come easy. Sometimes you gotta put yourself out there first before you can impact it the way you really want to impact it.
You don't
so
think
you
that he tried that early in the game when he was trying to be aggressive?
No, he did. Not at all, because he still had looks. Like, he went, if you look at that game, he had a quick 8 points. He ended up with, like, 13 points. He didn't shoot the ball.
13,
he didn't try to score.
He didn't try to. He shot three shots in the first quarter.
And it wasn't like – and I'm not talking – again, it's not about jump shots. He had those same shots in the second half. He just decided not to take them anymore. He wanted to find JJ. He wanted to find Tobias. He wanted to find Ennis. Like, no. Like, you got to take those shots because now you're scoring and a block.
Partially letting them off the hook now. There were – defenses have – patterned themselves after your boy in Boston. Because how they back up, they form that proverbial brick wall.
Yeah. Giannis. I'm not arguing that. I'm not saying, again, you got to get a jump shot. But if you watch that game, look at the game again. There's so many shots he had in the block when he drove and he decided to kick it out. Those are 2 points. And those dudes end up missing the 3-point shots anyway. So you could have had two and you decided to pass the ball off. That's a mentality thing. Like, dude, you got to get that in your mentality. Like, you know what? When I'm in the paint, like, I need to put the ball up. You know what I mean? And, yeah, he needs to have a jump shot because when you play in the series, when you play against a good defensive team, they're going to take that away, especially when you're playing against when Kawhi Leonard is checking you, right? If you're one-dimensional, like, Kawhi is one of the best defenders in basketball, period.
Period. Period.
Two-way. I'm
period.
Talking about period.
Period.
You know what
period.
I mean? So, like, when he's checking you and he knows that all you're going to do is drive, I don't care how big and bad you think you are. That dude's drafted you. Have you seen Kawhi is no joke playing defense. So he's going to have to get into the lab and really try to start with baby steps, getting that in-between game. And don't worry about shooting threes. We saw over the weekend with Portland how my man CJ McCollum assassinated the mid-range drink. So I don't need to hear about Penny finding a three ball. Forget that. Like, get yourself that mid-range game. You'll be unguardable because you got the physical tools already. He needs to get that mid-range game in check.
Well, let me ask you this, or put this out there, like I said when the show started. Excuse me. I look, when people use comparisons, sometimes they go too far. Sometimes they're in their feelings. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're in their moments. I am a Michael Jordan disciple, right, to sort of speak. Like, everybody don't get too personal. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking sports. I'm not talking religion, okay, or spirituality. Mm-hmm. I love Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I think on the basketball court, not talking about the man on the basketball court, mm-hmm. I thought could do nothing wrong. I'm not saying Kawhi Leonard is like Michael Jordan when I say more like Jordan than me, but I'm talking about intangibles that people don't talk about.
Yeah.
The way that he can hold the ball and palm the ball. That's what made Michael a lot. People don't talk about how big his hands were. Kawhi Leonard has huge hands. The mid-range shots that he takes, the fade-range shots that he takes. Not that Kobe didn't patent Michael, but when you see it with Kawhi, it's this confidence you see in him when he's shooting. Even shooting the way he shot yesterday, taking over. Not saying that he's, you know, Kobe this or Kobe that, kind of people get mad when you say, oh, it's got to be Kobe. No, I'm talking about intangibles. Not somebody marketing themselves or patenting themselves after Michael the way Kobe did. You look at Michael, look at Kobe. Kobe tried to be Mike. Kawhi's Kawhi. He's quiet. He signed with New Balance. Who signed with New Balance? Okay. So you want to look at him, I'm seeing intangible. I'm looking at things that make him over. Now he doesn't have MJ's mouth on the court, but everything else he possesses, sort of like that the way that Philadelphia media hated Donovan McNabb. They hated McNabb because he never had a facial expression. It stayed the same. He threw 5 interceptions, they looked the same. Kawhi Leonard, until yesterday, winning that game with a shot, always had the same face. Win or lose, his face never changed. His demeanor never changed, but his approach to the game always stayed the same. Your thoughts when I say Kawhi's like MJ with intangibles, do you agree, disagree?
I think Kawhi got a killer mentality. I mean, I think he takes that with Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. He has that mentality. He's a two-way player. He's a guy who straps. I mean, he's his own dude. I think his three ball, I mean, if you look at percentages, I mean, his three ball is better than Jordan in terms of percentages. But when you look at Kawhi, I know what you're talking about. I just look at a dog.
Don't make this a Jordan bashing.
It's not Jordan. I didn't bash him. I just said that the three ball. That's it. Look, everything I say can't be a bash, dude. You'll know when I'm bashing him because I'll be overly negative. You'll know when I'm bashing him. But, like, when you look at Kawhi, Kawhi's got a killer mentality. Kobe had a killer mentality. Jordan had a killer mentality. You know what I mean? You look at guys like that, you got to respect it. Like, when I look at Kawhi, he's different. It's because he's so quiet, right? So it's hard to gauge, like, the comparison to a Jordan, Kobe, in that realm, because he seems like a guy that you want to play, that you wouldn't mind playing with, because he's not gonna, he's not gonna be on you. He's just gonna do his own thing. He's gonna ball it. I mean, he's a blend. You know what? He's a blend of Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant. He's a blend of those two. Tim Duncan, because he's just quiet, mild mannered. They deem Tim Duncan as like no personality. Kawhi like has no personality. And then when you look at the dog mentality, because you see it on the court when he feels that nobody can kind of guard him. But you could tell if you watch him, you could tell you could see it even on certain plays. There was a video not too long ago, I believe, with Paul George was checking him, was trying to bang with him, and he made this look like, dude, you can't check me. Like his facial expressions, you can see it. So you can tell like he has that confidence, like he has that swag. But he said this also after the game, I think at the presser, he was like, the reason why, I try to act like I've done it before. You know what I mean? He said the reason why he was so excited after the game winner was something that he's never done before. Like, he's never hit a game 7. No one has. Some of the reports told him, no one's ever done it. But he was like, I've never done it. So, that's why I was so excited. You know what I mean? So, he puts it out like, I've done it before. Therefore, I don't have to put out this energy or put out this over the top reaction. You know what I mean? But in that situation, he's, this is something typically new to him, so he did it. So he's a different dude, man. Like, when you look at Kawhi, it's hard to compare him to anybody. I mean, you're going to compare him to Jordan or Kobe and him?
No, I'm definitely not comparing. Kawhi is Kawhi. I'm just saying he has
that people match up with someone. Right. Oh, he does. He has that Jordan, Kobe intangible. Like, they feel like when they get the ball, it's going in. Like, just clutch, dude. Yeah. This is my moment. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Now, let's go forward. Let's move forward. Now, we have two Western – we got the Western Conference Finals. We got the Eastern Conference Finals. Look what the East has done without LeBron. Teams 1 and 2 have made it to the finals. Let's start out in the West. Golden State versus Portland. Am I the only person that's upset by this? Like, Denver to me had a better chance of beating Golden State. Because I thought Denver's big, Jokic and Murray and those guys off the bench would be better. The same when I thought, man. Look, I'm a basketball fan. Basketball aficionado. School me. Am I wrong in this?
I'm going to tell you why. Because Dame said this about, he said this a while ago. And he was like, you know why people lose to the Warriors? I mean, everybody's fucked because Warriors are pretty much better than a lot of teams. But you know why they lose, they get swept or stuff like that? It's because they scared off the bat. Like, they don't believe they can beat them. They fear Steph. They fear Clay. The cool thing about Dame, he got no respect for them dudes. That's why he can ball with them dudes. He has no respect. If you look at the series, I believe the series this season was 2-2. I think Golden State kind of gave Denver the business when healthy. This season during their matchups this season. But the thing is, like, Dame and CJ are problems. You know why? It's hard to hide Steph when you got Dame and CJ. You know what I mean? You know how teams try to hide Steph? You know how Golden State tries to hide Steph defensively? Like, it's hard to hide Steph when you have a Dame and CJ because they can still put him on an ISO one-on-one. And then they try to put Steph on, say, the three guy, right? So, say, that could be Evan Turner. Evan Turner could put him in the block. You know, so it's like they have issues hiding Steph. Like, I will say this because Kevin Durant looks like he may not play game one, game two. Best opportunity for Portland to take it. Because when Kevin Durant is playing, I don't care if it's Denver or Portland. Like, it's a bad matchup regardless.
But does the NBA want Portland or does the NBA need Golden State?
No. Come on, man. You already know the answer to that. Why are you asking me a rhetorical question? You already know the answer to that.
Okay, point taken.
You already know what the NBA wants. You know what the NBA wants.
Now, all this talk about Kawhi, all this talk about, you know, the MJ, you know, intangibles, not comparisons, but, you know. I don't think nobody I wanted the Sixers to win. Everything I wanted was lining up.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I need Milwaukee to beat Boston because they give the Sixers the biggest problem. This is why I'm mad at the Sixers, because to me they squandered an opportunity to win. They should have beat Toronto, okay? And I thought they would have had a better chance going up against Milwaukee. And they're a better story with the way Embiid is on the microphone and Jimmy Butler. And of course, they're just a better story as Philadelphia. But now we've got the Eastern Conference Finals, Milwaukee versus Toronto. I got Milwaukee in five.
Oh, see, you're wrong. See, this is the issue. This is my issue. I think it's gonna be a close series, very close series. The reason why I say that though is that Giannis, as good as Giannis is, can you think Giannis can get Kawhi to business 1-on-1?
I don't think nobody can. I'm asking that question. Here's my response to everything. No superstar can stop another superstar, in my opinion. That's how I've always felt.
I agree. But the problem is, if you're a multi-dimensional superstar, what I mean by that is the way Kawhi straps. If Giannis is going to think he's going to play bully ball with Kawhi and that's going to work, that's not going to work. What he did to Boston won't work against Kawhi. That's what I'm saying. It won't work on Kawhi. Like, Kawhi is that strong. Like we have to – like, Kawhi is one of the best defenders we've ever seen in basketball as a one-on-one defender. Honest to God, like, one of the best defenders we've ever seen. If Giannis thinks that he's going to get away with throwing elbows with Kawhi just going to the basket, think that's going to, like, budge Kawhi, it's not going to work. Giannis has to do things differently. Like, Kawhi is – like, he's going to have to make jump shots.
It's not even about the two superstars.
They both got good teams, though.
I think Milwaukee is better. I mean,
they're not a five.
Starting five, Polly. Go starting five. Point guard.
Right,
who you going
right,
with?
You give me Milwaukee. Right. You got Milwaukee.
Go take.
I got
over.
I like Butso better. I like Butso.
You're also getting Brogdon back for this series.
He's not. He's coming off the bench though. He's not starting. You got Mirotić. Who am I comparing? Siakam. I'll take Siakam
Lopez
right now because Siakam balls.
I'm not taking Siakam Middleton, but Siakam played the last four games.
No. You talking about Siakam or Middleton? Are we doing those two?
Yeah. Isn't that the third and three?
Oh, yeah, I'll take Middleton because Middleton's all-star. I'll take Middleton. I mean, but it's not by that much, though. It's not by that much.
Starting five, Milwaukee has. And now, when I say five, right, you know me. You've been here
long
enough.
Now, you say five.
Everybody says six, right?
Yeah.
No, I have to say five because it just sounds – the hell is
yeah.
it? Yeah, five. I got Milwaukee, and I'm not saying the games are going to be blowout games. You know, I think they all should be close and competitive the way they were in the regular season between these two teams. I just think Milwaukee has too much to give up. I think from what I saw the last three games, or not the last three, because that one Toronto was a blowout. But other than that one game that Toronto came to play in game five? Game five. I haven't seen nothing from them since game two. So they have not played well.
I like Milwaukee. Like, it's not like I dislike Milwaukee. I just don't think – it's all about matchups. I don't really worry about who other series. I look at matchups and how they run their offense and how they run their sets and what they really rely on. And what they rely on, they rely on Giannis. They rely on Giannis to do a lot. Like, Kawhi, to be told, like, Siakam to his buckets, and they can run offense through Gasol. But they really rely on Giannis to do a lot. And when you look at it, if Giannis is hindered by Kawhi, and there's a good chance he can be hindered by Kawhi. Kawhi can – put it this way. If we're going to really be real, Kawhi can strap out Giannis before Giannis can strap Kawhi. He's like, if you told me who has the better chance to strap who, I would tell you Kawhi can strap Giannis better than Giannis can strap Kawhi. And that's because Kawhi is he's versatile in terms of how he scores the basketball.
Last time we were on air, I asked you to pick your finals. Mm-hmm. You said Milwaukee.
Yeah, my finals, yeah.
Yeah, I like Portland.
You still
stand by that?
The most consistent thing.
You still stand by Milwaukee?
I don't know anymore, man. After watching, I'm not gonna lie to you. After watching Kawhi, I've been like, I won't lie. Like watching Kawhi in this postseason, I've been so impressed. Like, I get impressed when people show me improvement. And what I saw Kawhi at San Diego State, from San Antonio, I'm seeing now. I used to question Kawhi.
I was the congregation while you was preaching. Go ahead.
I know you with me. I used to be like, can Kawhi, you know, on a different offense, can he create his own? Shot? Is he a system dude? I used to always question this dude, and now when I watch him play, I'm like, dude.
That's because you love Popovich so much. You don't get nobody credit
for
Popovich.
I do. I love Pop, but I get credit with credit too when you got skill. You know what I mean? And I didn't see him. Like, have to show one-on-one skill. Like, he used to get open off the sets. But here, it's like, yo, when you go on one-on-one, do an ISO, pull-up game, post game, and then when you straight bully ball folks, too, at the same time, you just got to give props to a dude who could, one, we already knew he was a lockdown defender. Like, we already knew that when he was checking LeBron in the finals. Like, we saw that. And then now you look at, you know, this offensive game he's putting together, like, he's one of the most talented basketball players I've seen in a long time. So, when you're telling me, like, yeah, I said Milwaukee, I feel like Milwaukee's been the most consistent team. Like, they've beaten squads throughout this year. And look what they've done in the postseason.
I just didn't want to change my pick. I didn't want to change my pick because I'm with you 100%. Like, I almost say I doubted Kawhi, but I didn't know how really, really good he was. And people say, well, what do you mean, you know, or disagree or agree? When you're watching a series because you have added interest in that series, you see things differently. Uh-huh. And I'm watching Kawhi like there's no one in the 76ers team can stop him. And Ben Simmons is I won't say a great defender, but he's a pretty good damn defender, on-ball defender.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching this, and I'm watching Kawhi. When I started saying he has Jordan and Towns, because he wills his team. Some teams are not stat-driven. They're just – it's will. It's when you're watching the game, he has the will to win. He has the will to not lose, the will to give up. And when I see that in Kawhi, I see where you're hesitant at in saying that. And I agree from that standpoint. When I see Kawhi Leonard, I see a guy who doesn't want to win. I see a guy who has a lot to prove.
He don't want to lose. He don't want to lose, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, he don't want to lose.
It wasn't just Pop. It was him.
It was him, too. Yeah, you got to be real with it. Like, now you got to now look at and dissect everything that you thought about Kawhi. Like, I'm like, yo, like, dang, like, he really did, like, put work on LeBron. That wasn't a system. That was Kawhi. Or, like, dang, look what he did against the Warriors before he twisted his ankles. Like, you know what? Maybe it wouldn't have mattered. Maybe if he came back, they would have eliminated the Warriors that year. Like, you just got to think about it. Like, he has a competitive, like you mentioned Jordan, like, yeah, he has that competitive nature. Like, he won't lose. It's almost to a point where I remember years ago when I was younger and the finals when they played, when the Bulls played the Suns in the finals, and the Suns had a crazy record that year, right? Like, the Suns were balling, like, hands down.
Can I put a blind tag in real fast? I got to get at it.
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
That was a good team Michael Jordan beat. That's it. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. No, what I'm saying.
They always say Jordan didn't beat nobody. They always say Jordan didn't beat nobody in the finals.
I use two teams that I felt like the Bulls, who they beat, were, like, really good. Like, there's only two teams in the finals. I felt like it was that Suns team and also the Utah team. The Suns team wasn't that good to me.
That Portland team was good. Go ahead. Right.
Nah,
go ahead.
They could barely get past the Lakers. They could barely get past Magic Johnson.
But they got past them.
No, that's when Magic left. They got past Magic when Magic left. I mean, it's okay. Yeah. I digress. They always lost, though. They lost every team. They lost that same Portland team that beat the Lakers. I believe that the year in the 90s, they lost to the Detroit Pistons in the finals, too. They always lose. So let's not get up. But back to that Suns team was really good. And going into that season, I was like, yeah, you know, they don't get Jordan. But that team was stacked. They made threes. They were like this, the new. They're like today's team right now.
But Golden State,
that sub team was that way.
I was thinking what Golden State was.
Exactly. So when you look at Kawhi going into this series against Milwaukee, it's almost like the same thing to the aspect like, yeah, Milwaukee's the most consistent team. Milwaukee's like the better team, got the better record and everything. But something about that Kawhi, though. Something about that cornrow killing. They won't cut his hair because cornrow's been outdated for a while. But something about that cornrow killing.
Don't do that because I'm trying to get my son some cornrows. He wants to just keep rocking the blonde afro.
Don't, listen,
my son got curly hair. You saw the video, me too. If you haven't seen it, guys, go to youtube.com/TheGameV1. Your trailer reactions of me too and my son and myself. And I'm going to cut the boy's hair or I'm going to braid it. Okay, it's that simple. My wife and my daughter have locks. So I'm not sure if I want my son to have locks, though. So, but
I had locks back in the day. Ain't nothing wrong with locks, man.
I had long hair, too. But long hair don't care.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Just don't get that Odell Beckham joint, because I hate that. I hate that hairstyle. Everybody has it now.
No, the blonde, listen.
I hate that hairstyle.
You know who we're on the air with. Here with Mike Knox. Three X's because I'm hardcore. Boy, child of mine ever have an Odell Beckham. And because I'm on Fox Sports, I had to be careful what I say. You know what I call him off air. Okay?
Yeah, I got you.
So, as an athlete, Odell, hey, do your thing. But the way you dress and stuff, I'm sorry. My kids will not dress like these kids do. Okay? Not
nah, don't do that, man. Don't do that. That's not cool, all right?
Shout out to my shooter because you're today, and somebody said something about, is it old-fashioned to ask your boyfriend to ask your dad before they marry you? My daughter put in capital letters, he has to ask my father. Okay? Don't play me. There's no, this is straight, I still whoop my kids if I got to. 347-637-3859. Listen, the NBA draft lottery is tomorrow, Wally. The top three teams slated to get them all have the same amount of 33, something crap. I ain't going to do the math right now, but they all have an equal chance of getting Zion. 33%, something like that, right? Between the Knicks, Phoenix, and Atlanta. No, am I wrong? Somebody says in there. It's not Atlanta. It's not Atlanta. It's Phoenix, New York. Give me 1 second. I do apologize. I know, it's, and I know the Bulls have the fourth best options to getting him.
Oh, that's what's up, man.
That's what I know. The Bulls got John Morant.
That's the best player.
Don't you stop
the best player in the world.
I'm gonna go there because people think I'm
talking. You know what I'm about to say? Because I'll be getting with y'all. I mean, we tell folks, man, I'll be getting mad when folks be downplaying Ja Morant. I ain't going to lie to y'all,
man. 6 years. Okay? I don't care how you slice it and dice it. It's been fixed for years. Okay? So, New York, if the rumors are what they are to be, that you're going to get Kyrie.
Kyrie.
Get
KD.
Get E. Then I don't see New York, the NBA, letting you get Zion. I think, when the Bulls got Derrick Rose, that was a very far fetch for them to jump. They think they jumped from 7th or 8th that year in the lottery to 1. Okay? To me, I want to answer that because I'm going to start with you. Where is the best fit for Zion of these four teams between Phoenix, New York, Chicago, Atlanta, Sacramento?
Not Sacramento, but Sacramento has all the same position. Everybody has the same position. Who is the best team? I think the Knicks would be great for him, to be real with you. I think it's the best market. I think Phoenix ideally would be good too, because, I mean, yeah, Phoenix would be a good one, but I don't like Phoenix because everybody's dying in Phoenix. You know what I mean?
It's New York at 14%. The Knicks at 14. I mean, New York, Cleveland, Phoenix, and then right. So for the top, and you're right when you said Washington. They're not far. They're 9%. So it's New York, Cleveland, Phoenix, all with 14%. Then Chicago with 12.5. Atlanta at 10.5. Washington at 9. New Orleans at 6. Phoenix, you know, and so forth. Those teams don't.
I don't want to be saying it.
So it's not Sacramento. Let's get them on. So it's New York, Cleveland, Phoenix, Chicago, Atlanta. Those are your five teams.
Okay, I'm going to tell you in terms of him putting up great stats, you know what I mean? I've always said when you're on the worst team in the world, it's the best place to be. But what I mean by that is it may not be good for you, good cosmetically for, like, fans because it's a bad place. Like, so what I mean by that is if he goes to Cleveland, right? And he has nobody with him. So I'm being real with you. He has nobody with him. I mean, I always look for the player. I look out for the player. Because I'm gonna tell you this. If you go to a place where there's a guy who believes that he's the star of the team, he ain't gonna let you shine. And he's a vet, he ain't gonna let you shine. But if you on a squad when you are the alpha dude, like you're just that guy, and they give you the whole franchise, yeah, it works out. Because think about it. If he plays with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, how many shot attempts do you think he's gonna actually get?
Only transitional buckets.
Exactly. That's not good enough in terms of your fundamental growth as an individual basketball player.
Not when he's baby Shaq.
No, I'm saying like you
think no, I think
about
baby
it,
Shaq.
Like look,
drop step,
yeah,
boom,
yeah.
Elbow, to the rib, up and dunk. That's all he needs to do.
Yeah, but I'm saying
but
in today's NBA though, like you still gonna need a little bit more.
He's an undersized power forward.
You need a little bit more though. But you're gonna look if you're gonna be undersized power forward, your pat's gonna have to be a little bit better. Like he needs to go to a situation where they give him room to grow. Like Kevin Durant, you with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they're not going to be waiting for you to grow.
They want to win now.
They want to win now.
Right.
It's the same thing with Michael Beasley. He went to Miami, and he teamed up with a motivated Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade ain't waiting for you. He ain't waiting for you, bro. He ain't waiting for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be ready now. He ain't waiting for you. So that ruined his progression. But you look at Kevin Durant. I've always mentioned this. I'm using, like, DMV ballers. You look at Kevin Durant. He went to Seattle. Who he had to work with? Nobody. So he could – you know what I'm saying? He had to work with nobody. Therefore, it made him a better basketball player. You know what I'm saying? And Derrick Rose, when he went to Chicago, it was good for him because Chicago was his team. And that became his team. It was nobody had to go against.
Am I wrong for saying this? Go ahead. I just finished your point. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, I'm done. I finished.
We watched Zion play all year. And I truly do believe he's a once-in-a-lifetime, you know, well, not lifetime, generational athlete. We haven't seen no money like him athletically, the impact, the hype since LeBron. Right? So that's what, 14 years ago at this point? Or more than 10 years ago at this point? If I'm Chicago, I'm not sure if I get the number one pick, I'd take Zion. Because you have marketing, right? Not saying, you know, he's proven, you know. You drafted Wendell Carter Jr. last year, which I will take Zion over him. But I'm
like
taking
Carter,
I'm taking John Morant if I'm the Chicago Bulls at number one.
It's the best fit. See, that's the best fit because as much as I like Chris Dunn, everyone I love Chris Dunn.
I love Chris Dunn, but he's disappointed.
But he's not.
He's supposed to be.
Yeah,
he was supposed to be the Wayne Wade part two, and
you know, Tom Thibodeau screwed him in Minnesota. Well, it goes to my point when I told you. It's all about messing up a young player's fundamental growth. Thibodeau did not want to play Dunn the minutes that he needed to play in Minnesota. And then that kind of hindered him now in terms of where he's at now in the NBA. I agree with you. I think Ja Morant, if you start him off the – see, this is my thing. If you get a Ja Morant, you not bench Ja Morant for Chris Dunn. You say Chris Dunn, you want to bench Ja Morant, you the starter. Because that dude – is a point guard. Like, Chris Dunn had to learn to play point guard. People forget probably he was a two guard. He wasn't a point guard. He's not a real point guard. He had to learn. He's trying to learn to be a point guard. You get Ja Morant, he's automatically a point guard. He's got the outside game. He has the basketball IQ as a point guard. You got to play him. He's the best fit for Chicago. But, again, I understand box office. Like, we all understand it. Like, you get Zion.
Got to put butts in
Chicago. And, man, you're selling out. And I get that. Like, I get the money. But I'm telling you, like, and I'm going to say this again. Zion is the best. It's box office. He ain't the best player to me. Like, I think Ja Morant is the best player in the draft. I think Zion is the best box office hit.
Chasing kids
for
athleticism is Ja Morant.
Like, Ja Morant got so much athleticism and the IQ.
So much.
So we go back to this. The IQ is not even the athleticism. You're right, though, but not even the athleticism. It's the basketball IQ. It's knowing when to pass the ball. It's being a real point guard. Playing a point guard position. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you watch him in the tournament and you see, like, all right, dude, you understand basketball psychology. Like, you get it. Like, you know how to draw defenders to you to find an open man. Like, you're playing chess out there and folks are playing checkers. Like, when you see that, it's the same thing when we watch, like, Chris Paul, young Chris Paul out of Wake Forest. When you watch Chris Paul at Wake Forest, you're like, dude's playing chess out here. Like, these dudes are slow. Like, he's got the game
on
lock right now.
I'm the third best point guard of all time to me, despite calling him CP2. That's just me. Okay. I do. I go Magic. I go Jason Kidd, and I go Chris Paul.
Yeah, Chris Paul. Same thing. I'm saying when you watch, like, I'm speaking for collegiate. I didn't see Magic when he was in college, but like watching Jason Kidd. When Jason Kidd was in Cal, I used to be like, damn, Jason Kidd sees things that, like, ahead of whatever folks are saying. So we look at John Grant, he has that same ability, and he has a lot of athleticism, and he has a jump shot, and he has range. So, like, to me, he's the best basketball player in the draft. Now, I know he's not going to be drafted number one. That's Zion. But I'm saying, like, you know, if I'm Chicago, if I'm the Wizards, man, if you don't get number one, it's cool. Like, I'm dead serious. It's cool.
So if you're Phoenix, are you drafting Zion? Yeah, whoever gets two is in the draft.
Cool, it's cool. Like, you win.
Michael Jordan
all over again. Winning.
Yeah,
it's the most important pick.
It is. It absolutely is.
I'm going to be real with you, Mike. I guarantee you, bro, their teams are hoping to have two because they don't want that pressure of getting one. I'm telling you, man. They don't have the heart to take.
I agree with you.
They don't have the heart to take Ja Morant over Zion. They don't got the heart to do it. They want to do it, but they don't got the heart.
New York and Cleveland, maybe Atlanta, if they jump, they need a Zion. I don't think Phoenix, Chicago needs Zion.
They don't need a Zion. They don't need a Zion.
Phoenix needs a point guard to help that young team out.
Yeah.
And my thing with Phoenix, as much as I like them, I'm tired of all the best young players going out west. Is that just me? I'm tired of it. Like, to me, the West has the best young point guards coming up between De'Aaron Fox and company and Jamal Murray. And the West got too much. But I love that young Phoenix squad. You give them a Ja Morant with Booker and Aiden. And
Monty Williams is the coach.
That's a nasty squad. They might barely make – I mean, they make playoffs next year. But I got to sit in the driver's seat of Chicago. I got to hope Chicago gets number one or number two, even if it's just to be again.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, if I'm Chicago – I mean, if I'm trying to sell, I want number one, right? Let's be real. I want number one. But I'm telling you, if I'm any team, like, I want number two. Like, I really want number two because I know when I get number two, I know I can get. I know, other than Cleveland, because Cleveland got Sexton, and Sexton's good. Like, I'm not, if I'm Cleveland, I'm trying to get number one. Like, Cleveland, I'm trying to get number one. But if I'm anybody else, I'm trying to get – and the Knicks, too, because they just got Dennis Smith Jr. too, so they don't really need to get another point guard. Like, you just traded, you got him. But if I'm
like Dennis Smith Jr. too,
I'm cool. Yeah, I like Dennis Smith Jr. If I'm those two teams, I'm not stressing. Those two teams should be stressing to get one. Everybody else should be stressing to be number two. Everybody else. I'm telling you, like, that kid, when it's done, they're going to be like, yo, like, it's already a point guard given league anyway. And that kid with his game, he's special, man.
Now, before we get up out of here, I'm going to cut this a little early today. We do have the NBA lottery. Happy X-Men Day. 20 years ago, the first X-Men movie came out. Man, how first of all, special effects have changed. Because I remember watching X in the movie theater with my boy. Like, I was there opening weekend, and we thought that was dope. And then X2, to me, which, if not for X2, the game changed right there. X-Men 2 changed the entire landscape of comic book movies as we know it today. The way it opened up with Nightcrawler attempting to assassinate the president, and the way they went through that movie opened the floodgates for everybody else. So happy X-Men Day to everybody out there. Also trending right now, the WWE going back to Saudi Arabia. And right now, people are flipping out, because that's what wrestling fans do, Wally, of having a match that's 10 years, 15 years too late in the making. Taker, that's the Undertaker, people, taking on Bill Goldberg in a match. And let me just say this before everybody gets their thongs in our arse. This is not for us. This isn't for you. This isn't for me. This isn't for the wrestling fan that's here in the United States. This is
for us.
It's for the casual.
I live in the 90s, bro.
But it's for Saudi Arabia, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's for them. This is for their fans. I remember saying that to people last year, about them going down there and the match that they had with Cena. And I'm like, y'all guys are getting upset about these things, but it's for that. They're paying for what they want to see. So I'm okay with them paying the Taker versus Goldberg. So what? I can give two racks asses. Okay, if those two go against each other right now, it's not going to move the needle. It's not going to mess with ratings. It's not going to mess with storylines. It's just there to be entertaining. And people have to understand, when you're watching the WWE, it's not pro wrestling. It's wrestling entertainment. So therefore, all philosophy of what pro wrestling fans think wrestling should be goes out the window. But I will say this. Excited about the go-home show tonight for the WWE. Money in the Bank is on Sunday. So I definitely want to see that. Well, I will be watching that. And so can't wait to see that. But a lot of stuff going on in this past week. And also, Wally, did you get a chance to check out the Jarrett Hurd Swift match on PBC where he lost his welterweight title? What a fight.
Lost to Philly J-Rock.
What a fight.
It was a great fight, man. J-Rock came with a good game plan. Getting real close, getting close quarters, going to the body. He was electric. I mean, obviously his camp did a good job, shocking the world and beating Jarrett Hurd, taking the IBF, WBA, super welterweight title. So all respect to him, man. He was upset, and he came to play, man. And he went into Hurd's, part of Hurd's, Hurd's hometown in Fairfax, Virginia. He's not from the DMV.
We should have had you at that fight.
I had an opportunity, but I could have went to the fight, but I decided not to. I was real busy. I had stuff to do, but
snobber. Top snobber. This guy.
No, I was chilling, man. I had to rest, man. I was just a little tired. But it was great. It was good to watch it on TV. I had to go through no traffic. It was a good fight. I hope to see a rematch. It was definitely a fight of the year. So hopefully we'll see a rematch. But I doubt it, though. If I'm J-Rock, I don't need no rematch.
You know, he's going to get the rematch. I guarantee you it's probably mandatory.
Yeah. If I'm J-Rock, I don't need no
So what do you think about Pacquiao?
I'm
the fight.
Oh, yeah, man. I can't wait.
Keith Thurman.
He won't beat the crap out of Thurman, man. You know what? He won't beat the crap out of Thurman, dude. I'm telling you. When I watch Thurman, like, that is like, we talk about, like, styles make fights. You know what I mean?
That's a Chris's guy. I've never been a Thurman guy.
Like, he don't block. It's like we talk, you know how I get on, like, Wilder, right? Like, he don't block. So, you fighting a Manny Pacquiao, you're going to leave him open? Like, I don't care if he lost a little power. He lost some power. But if you don't block nothing, you're going to get hit a lot. Like, a lot. So, I don't know, man. Like,
That's for damn. When I heard that
bunches, man.
I was like, you gotta be kidding me, bro.
Pacquiao's smart, man. I put it. He's a smart dude. He's a smart dude. I tell him that. He's a real smart dude.
Well, here we go. Best and worst of the weekend. Have you not yet watched Cobra Kai season 2 yet, Wally? That's my focus.
I watched all of it, and I loved it.
So you see how they build them for next year, right? To have her come in. I bet you she's going to be the doctor that helps them out. That's something I didn't like. I didn't like the ending. Remember when it went off, when Johnny was on the phone, Allison was calling.
Yeah.
Or what's her name? I'm not going to go with it.
Yeah, Allison. She thinks she's a doctor? She's a doctor?
I think she's a doctor, and she's going to want to come in to help Julio.
Oh, I hope so, man. I like that kid, man. I felt bad for that kid. I like him.
Wouldn't it be dope, though, if she's married to the dude from Karate Kid 2 that Daniel had to beat up? Because you got to bring in everybody from the series at some point, right?
Man, Daniel needs to get his butt wet, man. He keep messing everything up, man. I started off liking Daniel in the original version, but now, like, this dude, man.
I told you, listen, that two show that we saw, that YouTube monologue, that he was the aggressor,
yeah.
And it was that speaks a lot to this show. When I watch this show, I'm always like, I cheer for Danny because he's Danny. You know what I mean? You fell in love with that character.
Yeah.
But I watch and I go, Johnny is just so misunderstood, and Johnny's not doing anything. He's actually trying to be a good dude.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
He gave that
and
dude
I love
a second chance. Look at him.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, if you look at what he was saying, like, he was trying to get, because no one gave him a second chance. And you know what I mean? Like, he's like, hey, I got to give him a second chance. See what he does. I mean, he lied to him. He screwed him, but still. you know, it is what it is, man. All praise to Johnny, man. We need everybody needs to rock with Johnny, man. Johnny's that dude.
So, best and worst of the weekend, Wally. Go ahead, let it rip.
Best of the weekend, man. NBA playoffs, man. Fantastic, man. I mean, I'm as a guy who loves the NBA, I'm glad to see like traditional basketball come back a little bit. Seeing close basketball games, not games at 150, games at like 100 to 99. I'm good with that. I like it. Worst of the weekend, yeah. Obviously, Jared Hurd losing to J-Rock. I mean, the guy that I wanted to see fight Charlo, and this kind of hinders that. So.
Best of the weekend for me was clearly watching Game of Thrones last night. The critics are ripping the episode. The episode was full of emotions. If you haven't seen it, sorry, spoiler alert. When Daenerys destroys the entire city, I'm like, what the boop? And I'm just like she has to die. The Dragon Queen, I cannot believe I'm saying this, has to die. Okay, worst of the weekend was clearly watching the Philadelphia 76ers go down. But I'm with you. What a great NBA playoffs we've having. What a great all around. And shout out to the refs yesterday in both those game sevens for allowing these teams to play basketball. And the one thing I cannot stand, but the NBA has allowed it, and that's all the whining and complaining after every single shot that's missed when somebody makes face complaining about a foul. I'm all in post. If you complain to a referee about a foul call, then give him a tech. I don't give a damn. Like, I'm tired of seeing it. But overall, a really, really good weekend. Cannot wait to watch the NBA lottery tomorrow, hoping that the Chicago Bulls get the number 2 pick in the draft. Not the number 1, because I'm with you. I think it's too much pressure to get Zion. And how big is his upside, and where does he go? But the Zion sweepstakes will start tomorrow, and we'll be back here Friday to talk about it, Wally. So with that being said, Wally, have a good night. We're going to get ready to get up out of here. Y'all, listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me, and don't love God. We out of here, y'all. Make sure y'all follow Urban Sports Scene on the Twitter and check out the Urban Sports Scene tomorrow. You live tomorrow, right, Wally?
Yes, sir.
Catch it, guys. Look for them on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. We see y'all on Friday, y'all. Peace.
This is the Soulin' Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soulin' Sports, we keep it hot, man.
If you're not down with that, we got you!